left off discussing the sugya of onus, where the Gemara questions if in fact as a result of an onus there is no kiyum hatnai, how in fact would that impact on the maisa gerush? So we start to discuss, how do we understand the p'tur of onus? Is it simply a p'tur based on the pasuk na'avos ha'sadavar? Or perhaps it's much more than that. Not just simply that a person is not held responsible for that which is done by onus, but rather, perhaps it is even more. To use the language of Rabbi Chanan, it's considered to be a hafkos ha'maisa, nasis me'elav. It's as if that act is not attributed to yourself. Why should one indicate that that in fact is true? So number one is what he quotes the name of the Chem de Shlom on Simen Lamed Ches, where the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Dalet, that if a person is Ovid Avodah Zarah as a result of Ones, so the Shor HaNevad is Kosher the Mizbeach. So why should that be? If you assume the true, it is considered to be to an extent a Maisa Avera, except in terms of Onshin, not only Onshin Bezdin, but as he pointed out, even Bidei Shamayim Ones Rachona Patre, it would be a great kiddush to assume that that applies to Chefts as well, that the Chefts is not even labeled as that which is Shal Avodah Zarah. If you assume, however, as Rabbi Chanan writes, it's much more than that. If I deliberately do something, even if it's b'shogeg, it's considered to be my maisa vera, my act. If you do something as a result of an onus gamur, so therefore it's as though it was a natural occurrence, it doesn't relate to the doer, so in such an instance one can understand why the animal is considered to be kosher the mizbeach. With this in mind, Rabbi Chanan writes, you understand how you can make that giant leap, narlos ha'sadavar, in our sukya, kiyum ha'tnai. If this was only halach and onshin, so mehecha tesa that this is relevant to cases of kiyum ha'tnai. There you're not dealing with an onish in any shape or form. What is the common link to be able to extend these two halachos? Perhaps exactly that. That the nalus ha'sadavar is not just simply me telling you that there's a p'tur onish, but rather it means it's as though it's nasis me'elav. If that's true, that should impact on areas even above and beyond the realm of onish, even in terms of cases of kiyum ha'tnai. Rabbi Chanan points out in the very first piece of Maseches Ksuvos that this could depend on the Shat Levitarya and the Sugni Dharma, Daf Chav Zayin, that there the Gemara is discussing Nidrei Onasin, and the Gemara introduces, of course, one is Potter in the case of Onas based on the Pasuk of Lenar Lo Sasadavar, and the Gemara says the Dilma Katala Shaini. How can you derive anything from that Pasuk? After all, maybe that is a completely separate halacha simply when it comes to an Onish of Misa. And then the Gemara continues and presents the sugi of Ones when it comes to Nidarim, when it comes to Kiyum HaTnai. So it's very unclear, Lemaskana, is the Gemara working with that pasuk of Lanadu Sasadavar or is it not? One could understand as follows, that the Gemara suggested in Havamina that cases of Ones regarding Shuas Nidarim is also based on the concept of Lanadu Sasadavar. That's the Ptur of Ones Bechala Tarakula. And even though the Gemara raised as a kasha dilma tola shiny, that kasha is resolved. And no, we don't assume. It's simply a separate alach and onshin, but rather it extends b'chala tarakula. That's Balshab Shat in our Rashi. Because here when the Gemara is talking about, not onshin, the Gemara is talking about kiyum hatnai ba'ones, Rashi refers you to the pasuk of l'nar l'sasadavar. What do you do with that Gemara Nidarim and Daf Chav Zayin that says Ktala Shani? The answer is that was a Havamim the Gemara suggested. But as the Gemara proceeds, it demonstrates that it's applicable to Kiyum Hatnai, it's applicable to cases of Shvuas and Nidarim, and therefore, Naro Sasadavar is just an indicator, the fact that there is no Onesh, that it's considered to be Nasas Me'elav, and therefore that's relevant in other areas as well. We'll see, perhaps one could argue very differently, and that is that Naro Sasadavar is a separate halach when it comes to Onshin, for example, Ktala Shani, as the Gemara suggests, and Ein Achinami, maybe Kiyum HaTnai is based on an entirely different understanding, not based on the Pasuk of Unaro Sasadavar. This we'll have to see in today's shir. How else would you understand the concept of Ones and Kiyum HaTnai other than simply the Pasuk of Unaro Sasadavar? But Rav Chanan points out just very simply, if you assume it's based on this Pasuk, you see it's not just simply a detail when it comes to Onshin, but rather it's considered to be Nasis Me'elav. And then Rabbi Chanan writes, with this in mind, you understand the Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perachah Halacha Beis, that the Rambam is willing to extend this Ptur of Nala Sasadavar, even in cases where the person should not have given in, but the person should have been willing to be Moser Nefesh, in the cases of Yeharat Vayavar. So I understand, if you're dealing with the case where the Torah tells you that b'makom onus a person should not give in, a person should not resist, I understand onus rachona patre. But how does the Rambam know to extend it to cases even when the Torah mandates Yehara Koyavur? So if you assume all that is a Ptur, the Ptur can be extended to a case where the Torah says you should have been Moser Nefesh. But if you will argue it's more than a Ptur, it's considered to be Nasus Me'ilav, it's a Hafkos HaMaisa. So in such a case, that should extend even to cases where, in an ideal sense, the Torah said you should have been willing to be Moser Nefesh. So failure to be Moser Nefesh, good, it's a breach of Kiddush Hashem, you are Mechal Hashem Shemayim by violating the Avera, but you can't argue the person violated one of the Averas HaChamuras, which warrants Nisr Misa, after all, because it's considered as though it was Nasas Me'ilav. That's Rabbi Chanan's Kiddush. And he writes, it must be that way, after all, because you can't argue that the Pasuk of Lanar Sesadavar is only coming to tell us the cases where the Loch is Yavar Vayareg. Because after all, realize the Rambam Shita. In cases of Yavar Vayareg, it's not an option, it's a mandate. The Torah says, you must violate the Avera. There's no Midas Chasidus to be Moser Nefesh in a place where the Torah says that you should violate the Avera. That's the Rambam Shita in Parakei. So in cases where the Torah insists that you violate the Avera, you would think that you're Chayav Misa for that. So no, he writes the Chiddush that the Pasuk of Hanalo Sasadavar is specifically coming in order to shed light on cases where a person should not have violated the Avera, but nonetheless certainly was considered to be an Avera that was done Ba'ones, and therefore it's considered to be Nasas Melo. That he writes is the basis of the Tshuva Sarivash in Siman Dalet, that even in such circumstance, the person remains kosher leidus. Why is that true? Because the actual avera that he violated, right, does not relate to him. Nasis me'ilav. He failed an opportunity of mekane shem shemayim, so the Rivash writes that in such a circumstance, nonetheless he is considered to be kosher leidus. Good. And then Rabbi Chanan writes that you can resolve based on this as well, that apparent steer in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes in a case of ones, good. Even in a harik vayavur, right, the person is exempt from any onesh. However, what happens in a case of a cholish and nisrape? In such a case, then the Rambam writes onesh noso misa haroyula. So how do you distinguish between those two cases? So Bafana just writes very simply, if you understand the ptur of ones simply to be extenuating circumstances, then there are extenuating circumstances in either instance, no? Whether it's a case of Yonis, like Yehag Vayavor, or whether it's a case of a Cholesh and Yisrape. Those aren't normal conditions. A person is deathly ill. And therefore, why should the Rambam say, in one case, yes, Onesh, in another case, there is no Onesh? But he writes the Chiddush, if you assume it's not just simply that the Ver was violated under unusual, extenuating conditions, but more than that, it means it's considered to be a Havkos HaMaisa, then he suggests the following distinction. If the Onus is to perform this particular act, that you can say is Hafkos HaMaisa. If, for example, someone is putting a gun to your head insisting that you do this, your act is not considered to be yours. It's almost as if you're the vehicle, you're the bullet, but you're not the one who's triggering it. Mashenkin, in a case of a Cholesh Nisrape, where you willingly go ahead and take the refuah in cases that it's Asur, so then what are you going to say? That that's called a Hafkos HaMaisa. That was done with absolute Ratzon. So even though that was a deliberate act, and it was done under extenuating circumstance, yeah, but nonetheless, you cannot argue that's considered to be a case of Hafkos HaMaisa. Good. Then we started to discuss the following Kiddush, the Rambam Shita, and that is this Isra of Alano Sasodavar. Is it considered to be, right, using familiar terminology, a new Isra? An Isra Mechudosh, or is this considered to be what we always term a Hadre Li Surakama? Good. Is it that if a person violates an Isra Ba'ones, so therefore Bezin is not allowed to put them to death? And if Bezin will do so, what Isra are they violating? Simply this Isra of Ritzicha. Or should you argue, no, that's not true, that Monalo Sasodavar is considered to be a separate, new Mechayiv, a new Isra. So this is the Chiddush that the Radvaz discusses. And that halacha, El Chosanhedrin Perachav Halacha Beis, where the Radvaz writes a pretty great Chiddush, and that's the following, that the Rambam counts Monalo Sasodavar as an independent law, that was a Kasha the Ramban. And the Radvaz writes a pretty incredible Chiddush, that if it was a case where the person was fully innocent, a case of Yavor Ba'al Yehore, and Bezin will put that person to death, that mamish is called an act, Ritzicha. If, however, he suggests a Chiddush that it was a case of, no, Yehore Ba'Yavor, and the person gave in, and Bezdin puts that individual to death, they do not violate the Isra of Ritzicha, they simply violate the Isra of Monasa L'Sasa Gavar. Despite the fact that the Gavra violated an Isra where there should in fact be a Chiyuv Misa, the Pasuk of Monasa L'Sasa Gavar binds the hands of the Bezdin not to enforce such a Chiyuv. But if they will enforce it, they're violating that new love, they're not violating the Isra of Ritzicha, for example. And then we pointed out this is a great Yiddish. We related it to the Chakira that the Rishonim raised regarding the issue of Ein Manishin B'Shabbos, that a Bezdin is not allowed to enforce any Onesh. Why exactly is that? Because certain Onesh involve Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, if Bezdin will put someone to death on Shabbos, it's a Chilul Shabbos derais of Shochto, of Netilas Neshama, or no, irrespective of whether the particular Onesh involves any malach or not. The Rambam writes, Hu Hadin L'Shar Onshin. That's the Rambam writes in Perach Abdallah for Shabbos. That was a Kiddush that the Rav pointed out, that the Rambam Shita, that one is not allowed to enforce an Onesh on Shabbos. The Rambam has this a separate law in Sefer Mitzvot, in Shinchav Beis. That's why the Rambam Perach Abdallah for Shabbos writes, Hu Hadin L'Shar Onshin. The Rav suggested that the Bezim will put someone in Cherem on Shabbos. They violate that Issa Daraisa. Even though Cherem does not have, right, Chilul Shabbos, it's not an Isser Chilul Shabbos. That the Sugni Bamas and Davav is the Isara Kavachomer. To tell you, putting someone to death in Mamish is not called Chilul Shabbos. If Avodah is Dokh Shabbos, Ritzicha is Dokh Avodah, so certainly Ritzicha is Dokh Shabbos. Despite the fact that it's not Chilul Shabbos, it's a separate Isser. No? And therefore the Rambam writes that Hu Adin, the Sharon Shim. Ravon suggested the following, that there's a major difference between Mammon as opposed to Knas. If there's a chiyuv mammon, let's say hodos and havos, bez and paskins, that you owe a person $100. That's not the Torah's onesh. That's what we always call yischagos midas. Let's say bezin enforces a chiyuv knas. No? It's an onesh. So Rav suggested the following chiddush. If bezin will enforce a chiyuv knas on Shabbos, that's an iser of los sevaro eish b'chomo shoseichen. That's hu hadin l'shar onshin, irrespective of whether the particular onesh, like cherem or knasos, entails an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's a fascinating Kiddush here. That when you have a pasuk that says that Bezin cannot punish someone for an aver that was done by Ones, is that just simply because punishment under normal conditions involves an Isser? Like an extreme case, right? Misa is an Isser of Netilas Neshama, Ritzicha. Or does it mean no? It's considered to be a completely separate Isser, irrespective of whether, in fact, it can be covered by Nisr Kavalah or Nisr Ritzicha. One could argue the following Kiddush, that perhaps Nara Sasa Davra means that Bezin is not allowed to impose an Onesh for an individual who violated Nisr Ba'ones, even if that Onesh is something like a Cherim or something like a Knas. Now, even if it doesn't involve an act of Ritzicha or an act of Kavalah. But this, a Kiddush, the Radvaz, is a great Kiddush. The Radvaz writes Nara Sasa Davra is a separate Isr. His application is the great Kiddush. No? If a person violated a capital offense bonus and Bezin puts him to death, that would not be an Isser of Ritzicha. That's an Isser Nalo Sasa Davar. Right? That is very questionable in light of the whole concept that onus is considered to be Nasis Me'ila, Pabkos HaMaisa. If that's really true, if we can somehow demonstrate that onus is not considered to be a Maisa Avera, like Rabbi Kvega raised, in Suvas and Daf Lamed, the possibility there is no Kimnei Derabinei on Chilul Shabbos Ba'ones. Because Al Pidin, it's not called a Maisa Avera. So therefore, one would be inclined to argue that if Bezin will put someone to death under such circumstance, it's not just simply that side Yisr Lav, but rather that's considered to be an act of Ritzicha. There is a piece Rabbi Yosef Engel has, Nesven Daraisa, in Klau Yud Gimel, where he discusses this very issue. To what extent Ones Rachmona Patre is literally simply a tour, despite the fact that a person violated in Avera, nonetheless it's a Ptur Onesh, but a Mais Avera in fact that it is? Or to what extent do we argue that that is not true whatsoever? Certainly if one argues, of course HaMaisa, it doesn't relate to Va'osen. So in such a case, it's not just a technical Ptur, but rather not considered to be a Mais Avera at all. Here Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes several marmakomos, seeming to indicate somewhat of a stira. And he argued that it depends on the type of mitzvah at hand. He begins with the sugya of Avakamada, Sari Dalet, Amadeus, where the Gemara discusses an individual who is gozel asarabim. The person's been stealing from the public for years. Yeah, so the Gemara points out that shuvasam kasha. It's going to be very hard for that person to do tshuva. Because after all, tshuva for an act of gezel requires v'heishiv esagzida shagazal. It's going to be very, very difficult to do. The Gemara tells a story of a person who was confirmed gozlan. That's what he did for a living, years and years. He decided to do tshuva. So his wife said that, what are you going to do? Right, afilo avnei shalcha. You're going to have to give up everything. Everything that we have is a result of gezel. No? And therefore, as a result, the Gemara says, nimnav lo asa tshuva. The person did not do tshuva. So the Gemara says a great chiddush, that ba'oso shah amru, at that moment, Hachamim declared, if you have such a gozlan, right, that's willing to go in to give back everything, ein mekam lemehem. Don't receive it from them. Right? Don't accept the stolen object. Right? Give them the easiest opportunity to do tshuva. Right, this is one of the sukkis in Bava Kama, Dav Tzadi Dalit, takanas hashavim. Sometimes we'll go the extra mile in order to allow a person to do tshuva. But the Gemara says, but still, latzei sidei shamayim, the gozlan is supposed to make the effort. And even though the Chachamim advised, when a gozlan comes to you, and he's offering it back, and you see the circumstance, ein mekabel milsa menu, nonetheless, right, he has to go ahead and make that attempt, latzei sidei shamayim. So the Gemara says, no, if that's true, amai tshuvasam kasha. If he only has to do it, latzei sidei shamayim, why is it that tshuvasam kasha? That's the kasha the Gemara raises. So Rav Yosef Engel just raises the obvious question. What do you mean if the person has to make the attempt, latzei sidei shamayim, to return everything which is stolen, and this person was gozel asarabim, he's stolen from thousands of people, and he has no clue who they are. That's very difficult. That's tshuvasam kasha. What exactly is the shaka v'tari of the Gemara? A person who is gozel asarabim must return the chayfet. It's impossible for him to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, you know what? The people shouldn't accept it from him. But latzei sidei shamayim, he still has to go through that. So the Gemara says, if that's all he has to do, am I tshuvasam kasha? Isn't it obvious why tshuvasam kasha? Because even the attempt of Hashava is nearly impossible. Because this person has been stealing from thousands of people. He's gozel asarabim. Then Rabbi Yosef Engel refers you to a sugi that we learned previously as well, the sugi in Gittin Adaf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Yevachatz, Yevachatz, Ben Torah. This person, let's assume, was owned by two different individuals. One was Meshachar and one was not. So the Mishnah says, as far as the Shibud Mammon is concerned, that's not so terrible. So one day he will work as a free man, do whatever he wants, and every other day he'll work as an Eved. What about when it comes to status? What about when it comes to Yisr Veheter? What about when it comes to marriage? Who in the world is Chatzi Vechatzi Ben Chorin going to marriage? He cannot marry Abbas Yisrael, and he cannot marry a Shivcha. There's no one we can marry. So the Gemara says, okay, Yibato. So who says he has to get married? The Gemara says, no, he must do so. Why? Lo nivra olam elashim piri avrivya. The world was created for Peruku. Shenehemar, lo soho v'ro l'sheves yitzar. So therefore we have no choice but kofin esrabu l'shachar. Great Kiddush. Even though the Chorish should be an Issadar Isa, to free the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Nonetheless, here, for the sake of the mitzvah of Sheves, Kol Chines Rab L'Shachar. There's a great Kiddush, the Rashba writes, it's in Shabbos, and Nav Dalet, where the Rashba writes, there's no Yisr Ti Meshachar Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. Someone who is an absolute, complete Eved, you cannot be Meshachar. Someone who is a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, there's no Yisr. The whole kasha of the Mishnah was just simply, why do you force the Adon to do so? Why do you force them to do so? Not that there's anything wrong with being Meshachar, but what do we have to get involved to do so? Most Rishonim assume that certainly is not the case. The Isra Ba'olam Em Tavodu applies to a complete Eved, but even applies to a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, and therefore, in this case, we're insisting that the Adon violated Isra Daraisa, to allow the Tzevet to fulfill a mitzvah? On what basis do we do so? So the Gemara says you have to do so because the world was created for this purpose. So Tosus there in Gittin and Daf, Mem Aleph, and Tosus in Balabasra and Daf Gimel as well, it's bothered by the following kasha: why in the world does the Gemara quote the Pasuk of Sheves? What about Pruravu? You want to demonstrate that there's a mitzvah that the Tzevet has to fulfill. What's wrong with Pru Ravu? Why do you have to come on to the Isser in the mitzvah of Sheves, the mitzvah of Divrei Kabbalah? What about the mitzvah of Darais? So Tosus writes something which is very difficult. Pru Ravu! What, you're going to fault the Eved for not fulfilling Pru Ravu? It's an onus gamur. He's willing to fulfill Pru Ravu, but the Torah doesn't allow him to marry Yeshivka, doesn't allow him to marry Tabas Horim. He's an onus gomor in the mitzvah peruvu. The Tosa says, great, that's why the Mishnah says Shevis. So you read the Tosa, right? You think you missed a line. How does that understand? No. The Gemara doesn't quote peruvu because he's an onus gomor, and Shevis resolves the world's problems. And now that the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Shevis, everything is fine. He is only an onus in peruvu, and he's not an onus in Shevis. He's an onus in Shevis as well. He can't marry, he can't marry. Why in the world does the Gemara think that the Pasuk of Shevis somehow would apply despite the fact that it's an onus, and that would not apply to the circumstance of Peru? So that's where Yosef Engel begins discussing to what extent is onus considered to be a ptur, but a maisa avera? To what extent do we assume that that is not true whatsoever? A person, makom onus, is mamish potu legamrei from a mitzvah. There's a fascinating taz, Narachayim, Sim Kubches, Sivkot Nalei, where the taz quotes the sheet of the drisha. Let's assume Rachman on a person doesn't own him. So he's exempt from mitzvah sasei. So an onen does not daven. So now the kfur is 2 in the afternoon. Is that onen obligated to daven mincha? Of course. Does he have to daven tashlumen for shakris? Certainly not. Why not? He was an onen. He was exempt from tefillah shakris. It's not that he should have davened, but somehow it slipped his mind. He was in a mechuyavah daven. So of course an onen does not daven tashlumin. So the Taz quotes the name of the drisha. Hu hadinami ones. Unbelievable. He writes, the same thing is true of ones, and the same thing is true as of sacred mitzvah, potim and a mitzvah. Unbelievable. That's the chiddush of the drisha. If you forgot to daven b'shogeg, there's tashlumin. You thought you have time, you didn't have time. What happens if you just simply were delinquent? You had time, you said, I'm going to daven later, and all of a sudden, it slipped your mind at the very last instant. Ooh, maybe that's our sugya. Onus b'sof hazman? The guy should have returned in order to see to it that he's not divorced. He waited until the very last day, and lo and behold, haske mavara. Now the bridge is out. Is that called onus? Is not called onus? I'll have to discuss it later. No? This is a very, very important maramakom. Now, Poshev Shat in our sugya, it seems to indicate that this is certainly an onus. Even though Lechora, the person could have been a kayim d'tnai, right, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he waited until the last instant, and lo and behold, now he couldn't do so. And the Gemara does not say that's Pshia. The Gemara says that's onus. We just have to assess whether Yeshua is begitten or he is begitten. No? That's the Ktosis issue, Simen Nunhei. I'll have to discuss this at length. So the Drisha writes, an unbelievable Kiddush. Not only is there no Tashlumin in a case of Onen, there's no Tashlumin but Ones. And what about, for example, the Xeris HaKosef HaOsek, the Mitzvah Potom HaMitzvah? What does that tell you? That you can't do two things at once. And for that, I need the Pasuk in Kriyashma. To tell you can't do two things at once. Maybe it's much more than that. A person who's osek b'mitzvah is exempt from the second chiyuv. Not just simply a person is faced with two obligations, but look, he has to choose one because he can't do two things. After all, Tosfos writes, if it's efshar l'kayim shneihem, you have to do both. There's no p'tur of osek b'mitzvah. So the whole p'tur of osek b'mitzvah is when you can only do one. So for that, you need gzeiras hakasuv to tell you that when you can't do two things at once, don't do two things at once. Now, the Jewish Rishon is a great Yiddish. You know what the gzeiras hakasuv is? It's not just simply that you're chayiv in both, but your hands are tied. You are not a bar chiyuv in the second mitzvah. And therefore the Drisha writes, there's no tashlumin for osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. You're like an onen. And he writes, hu adinami, when it comes to a case of ones, a very great chiddush. Again, that indicates that ones is much more than just simply a ptur onshin. It means the person is patur lagamre. So Vesavengo writes the following chiddush. When should this be? Regarding all mitzvos, that's true. Or should we argue, no, maybe regarding certain mitzvos, onus is a very legitimate, understandable excuse, but the bottom line is, the chiyuv is still present, it's still pressing. The terminology of Yosef Engel uses, I'll suggest some different terminology. He uses the terminology of mitzvos ben al namakom, as opposed to mitzvos ben machaber. That's his terminology. I would suggest, right, it's not necessarily Baram Makam al Chavera, but rather terminology that the Rav used in different context, in Isser Chalos as opposed to an Isser Maisa. There are certain mitzvos in Isurim that the Torah mandates, where the concern is the act, the Maisa HaMitzvah, the Maisa HaVera. There are certain other cases where the concern is the result, the concern is the effect. It's close to what Rav Yosef Engel mentions, because if I were to ask you, for example, when it comes to Gemilas Chasadim and Mitzvos Benam Lechavero, there I would argue it's a concept of Chalos. The Torah is concerned with the effect, the result of what you have done. We discuss this at length in Sugyan Beis and Af Chazayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara discussed the Sugya of Grama. Fascinating Chiddush. When is Grama considered to be a Ptur? When is it not? I do something Ayyadei Grama. If I'm a Chalal Shabbos, but I do something indirect fashion, Ayyadei Grama, then it's not called Chalal Shabbos, Daraisa. But there are other cases where it's absolutely not true. The context of Sugyan Beis and Af Chazayin Amud Beis was, right, a person who is mapo mum b'kodshim. A person has the bechor. So the Gemara says the following, that this person went before Rava, that Rava can take a look at his animal in order to see whether it's a bechor shenachol b'mum or whether it's not. So the Gemara is explicit that the chacham has a twofold responsibility. Number one is he has to simply see whether it's a mum kavu, whether it's a mum ofer, obviously. Number two, Heichi Havi Uvda. That's what Rav asked him. I see, it's a Mum Kavua. How did it happen? How did it happen? Of course it's a Mum Kavua. You know why? Because on your way to the Chacham, you inflicted the Mum because you wanted to use that animal. So the Chacham always has to ask himself, Heichi Havi Uvda. So the Gemara explains, you know, maybe you did this. Maybe you put some dough in the ear of the animal, and you let the animal graze with the herd, and lo and behold, suddenly, an animal nipped at its ear in order to get the dough. Maybe you caused it. Maybe you put the food on the other side of the fence, and when the animals were pushing to get to the food, they injured themselves. Maybe you're the one who caused them all. So the Gemara says, "Uminat timid de grama asur." Let's assume that's true. Let's assume that indirectly, the Baal HaBema caused them all. He put some dough in the ear, right, and then enticed another animal to attack it. He put the food on the other side of the fence. It's just a grama. So the Gemara writes a great chiddush. When it comes to that iser, kol mum yiyabo, ikra chaveiz, even grum is asur. You're not only allowed to actively make a mum, But to render an animal a bamum al yedei gram is also. Why is that so? It's simply gzeras hakos of everything. In mum it's a gzeras hakos of the gram is also. And in Shabbos it's a halacha that gram is mutter. Rav pointed out the following. You have to distinguish between an Isser Maisa as opposed to an Isser Chalamus. When it comes, for example, to Chilu Shabbos, Lo Sasa Chomel Acham, the Torah forbids a prescribed act. An act, no doubt, Leches Mashavis. If a person will do that act, either without Kavana, or as a Melach Shein Tzirich L'Gufa, or B'mis Asek, or Ayyadei Grama, even if the result is identical, when you look at that chayfetz, you will not be able to tell whatsoever. Whether I wrote that with my left hand or my right hand, the fact is identical. But klachayat is a tour. That's when you're dealing with an Isser Maisa. What is the concept where the Torah says that you're not allowed to inflict the mum to behemas kodeshim? Is that just simply an Isser Maisa? Or isn't it very reasonable to assume that you know why there's an Isra doing so? Because after all, the animal has a Kedusha Saguf Lamizbeach. And as a result of your action, the animal will be Nifsal Lamizbeach. Is that coincidental? Then you're not allowed to inflict a mum, and coincidentally, the animal now will not be able to offer Nagam Mizbeach? Or no, then Hainu Hach. The Isra of Matu Mum B'Kodshim is to deliberately do that which will render the animal Nifsal Lamizbeach. Very mistaken. The Torah is concerned with the result, with the effect. And therefore, even if somehow you're able to construe it as a grama, yeah, but the bottom line is a deliberate attempt to render this animal posel akrava, that is the issur of komun liyabo. Rav explained the same lumbus when it comes to the concept of amir l'nachri. When is Amir L'Nachri Yasa? When is Amir L'Nachri Mut? So we are, of course, familiar with Amir L'Nachri when it comes to Chashabis. It certainly is true. The Sukkim Bav Metziya, the Sadi Yom Aleph, the Sadi Yom Beis, has Amir L'Nachri in other cases as well. The Gemara has Amir L'Nachri when it comes to Chasima. That's the Rambam Perakit Gimel Chasfirus. L'Sach Sam Shor B'Dishon. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal, right? And to allow it to work for you. The Gemara is explicit. But that's usher even on an offering. So I won't do it. I'll have my non-Jewish worker muzzle animal, let that animal plow. That's mutter. The Gemara says that's usher. Or that very same daf, but Metziyan daf tzadi, sirus. The pasuk says bar tzachem l'sasa. There's an isser of sirus. You can't sterilize the animal. So what about doing it on an offering? I won't do it. I'll have the nachri do so. So the Gemara says that's usher as well. The Rambam quotes that in Perek Tezayin. Halachi Yit Gimel, the focus is Yisri Adiyah. That there's an Isra of Amir L'Nachri for Chasima and Sirus. What does Chasima and Sirus have in common? Here also the Rav suggested. The Isra Chasima is the Maisa Vera. Doesn't it have anything at all to do with the fact that the Torah thinks that it's inappropriate for an animal to be schlepping and doing all of its work and plowing, but not free to graze? If there's a concept of chalos when it comes to Isra Chasima, very mistaken, that therefore even if the muzzle, the harness is enforced by a goy, but that's mutter l'chatchila. Or sirus, is that really the maisa vera? Or does it have something to do with the result? The fact that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this animal to be able to multiply, and you have done something, bar tzachem l'sasa, to see to it, then it cannot reproduce. But the fact is irrelevant. Everything's just a chok. So that's the chiddush the Rav suggested. The common link of chasim and sirus is that it's nisr chalos. And therefore, even Adinachri is asr. And what's the great chiddush then of Shabbos? As the Rav said the following, nidaraisa, Shabbos is an nisr maisa, osasa chomalacha. But midrabanan, not as a dindaraisa, midrabanan. The Chachamim added the dimension of an Isra Chalos to Shabbos. Meaning, like Rashi writes, he had Beitz Nach, Chavdal Nevei, Shlo Yehenem Imalecha Shabbos, Shlo Yehenem Imalecha Siyantin. The dindaraisa says, you cannot be Mechamel Shabbos. The dindrabanan is you cannot see to it that this effect is brought about on Shabbos. See, even if it's done through an individual, right, Eofinami, who has no Maaseh B'chol Shabbos, not Midrabanan, on level of Daraisa, Drabanan, there's a concept of an Amrilin Ochri. I'll give you one more example. The concept of Bav Shein B'Maaseh. We've discussed this in the past as well. To what extent is Dibur called a Maaseh? To what extent is Dibur called a Maaseh? So the Gemara writes, and that very daf, Bava Metzia and Daf Tzadi, quotes the Chiddush of Yochanan, that Dibur is called a Maaseh. What's the case? Chas Mavakol. My animal is trained. I don't have to put the harness on the animal. If I just yell at this animal, it's not going to eat. So my animal is plowing, grazing, and everything, and I yell to the animal, do not eat, it's not going to eat. The animal's conditioned. So if Yochanan writes, you get Malkus Daraisa for that. That's called Chasima. Well, Safsam Shavadisha, you're muzzling the animal. And even though it was only done Ayyidei Dibur, Rabbi Yochanan says, Akimas Piv, Havi Maisa. Dibur is called a Maisa. So Tosus raises the following question. Tosus is found in Shavuos and Dabchot Aleph Amaram. Tosa says, you mean to say that Dibur is called a Maisa? That's not true. Rabbi Yochanan, Mamish, the same Balam Emra. Rabbi Yochanan says that you never get Malkus and Lav Shein B'Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan says there are a few exceptions to this rule. One is Nishba and one is Mekala. If a person is Mekala is Chavera, there's Malkus Daraisa. If a person makes a shvua sheker, he'll see shavu b'shmila sheker, make a shvua daraisa achalti, I ate yesterday and I didn't. Rabbi Yochanan writes, you get malchus daraisa. So Rabbi Yochanan writes, you should know, based on psukim, that there are exceptions to the principle of vav she'en v'maisein olkom. So Tosus is bothered. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that hakimas piv dibur habi maisa. Those aren't exceptions, that's the rule. That nishma, mekalel, that is called a Maisa. Ein b'Maisa means sheva tasa, sitting back and doing nothing. But if you actively do something through Dibur, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that's called a Maisa? So what's Rabbi Yochanan say? That Nishba is an exception, Mekala is an exception. That's mamish the rule. So Tosfos says, al karchach, one has to distinguish between different types of Dibur. The language that Tosfos uses the following. There is something which is called Dibur, and there is something which is called Dibur Dika'avid Masa. That's Tosfos' Kiddush. You have Dibur, and then you have Dibur, which is simply a means to a certain effect, to a certain chalos. That's Tosfos' Kiddush. When did Rabbi Yochanan say Dibur is a Maisa? When you have Dibur that has a tangible, concrete effect. As a result of your yelling at this animal, the animal will or will not eat. And that's called muzzling. Tosfos gives another example, Tmura. All Tmura is Dibur. I say, Zet Tachazet. This should be Kodesh instead of this. Yeah, but Tosfos says, what happens as a result of that statement? Who's Smrasiyah Kodesh? The second animal now has a Kodesh Saguf. That's not Dibur. Their Dibur is the vehicle, but it has an absolute concrete effect. That, Rabbi Yochanan said, is called Alav Sheish Mamaisa. When do we say Dibur is not called a Maisa? When it's an Isser Dibur. A person makes a Shvur Daraisa that he didn't eat breakfast yesterday. But that's Dibur Dakavid Maisa. That's pure Dibur. Pure Dibur. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's Lav She'en B'Maisa. If the Dibur is a means to an end, it's a way in which you create a Chalos Hekdesh. It's a way in which you get the animal to eat or to stop eating. That was what Tosfos called Dibur Dakavid Maisa. Right, using this terminology, that's Dibur which creates a chalos. That is considered to me a lav sheish b'maisa. How is that relevant to us? To the following suggestion. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes that, look, when it comes to certain mitzvahs, you have to ask yourself the following. What is it that the Torah mandates. Do or do not do this act, or do not attain this result. He writes, Rabbi Stamber, the following Chiddush. If you're talking about the first category, the act, if a person is an Ones Gomer, and he cannot perform that act, what are you going to say? The person's held responsible for that. However, he writes, if what the Torah is telling you that you have to attain a desired result, there's a concept of chalos, so the person may have a very legitimate excuse for not being able to perform or avoid that result, but what's the bottom line? That effect, that result, is not realized. It doesn't materialize. In such a case there, onus has to be reckoned with. Good, you can say it wasn't my fault, but the bottom line is the result was not attained. Let's assume, for example, the case of Hashavas B'Zeva. That's a concept of chalos. The Torah desires a particular result. The object must be returned to its owner. You have a very legitimate excuse as to why that cannot be done. You stole from 1,000 people, you have no clue who the owner is. Yeah, but very mistaber, there's still something which is missing. Your tshuva requires that the chetza gozel be returned, and the bottom line is that it is not returned. Then, he says, it's a ma'isa avera. If we're interested in act, davening, for example. So in a case, a circumstance where the person cannot daven, then the person is exempt. It's not just simply that the parent's hands are tied and he is unable to fulfill a given obligation. That's the Chiddush of Yosef Engel writes. You know what the difference between Pruruvu and Sheves is? Yosef Engel writes the following Chiddush. Pruruvu is a mitzvah. Sheves has the element of chalos. Why is that true? That's the pasuk that the Mishnah tells you. Osov harada Sheves Yitzara. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you must populate the world. I didn't create the world that it should remain empty. So good, a person is in a state of onus. He has a great excuse. He's a chatzim and a chatzim and a chan. He can't marry anyone. So if you're talking about a mitzvah, onus rachmana patre. But if you're talking about that which has an element of chalos, the bottom line is that your excuse is absolutely legitimate, but sheves yitzara. And that's why the Gemara has to quote the Pasuk of Sheves. Then he writes his Pasuk of Shantosus. Prove who you're an Ones. Why aren't you an Ones in Sheves? Ones, right, in terms of Hafka, that's true when it comes to a mitzvah, for example. If a person in Machalo Shabbos bonus, it's not called Chilu Shabbos. But Kibbeger writes. But in a case where the Torah says we want a desired result, the world should be populated, the stolen object should be returned. There, even if a person is makom ones, good, a person will not be held fully responsible for that which is beyond his control. But nonetheless, the effect, the result was not attained. That is not a hafka. That's the Chiddush, Yosef Engel writes. So he uses terminology in the following sense. Generally speaking, a mitzvah which is ben adam lamakom is not the effect. Right? There is the act. Davin, Dom Machalo Shabbos. You're dealing with the mitzvah, which is Ma'am Machavero, the need to return the object. The need, for example, right, to do Gemilas Chasadim, the need to give tzedakah. It's not the Maisa HaMitzvah, the handing over the tzedakah. Right? It's the fact that by doing so, right, the person's needs will be met, the person will be comforted, and so on. So that's his finish. See, right, that's exactly the Shach HaVatari, that's the Gavah Kaman, that's Tzadid Aleph. Before Takanas HaShavim, you had to return the Chepetz. So the Gemara says, Chivasam Kasha. That's very hard to do. You stole from 1,000 people. But there's a takanas hashavim that the person is not supposed to receive the chayfetz in any case. But still, latzei sidei shamayim, a person should make the tent. His chiddush is, latzei sidei shamayim does not have that element of chalos. Right? The person is not going to be maintaining the chayfetz in any case. In racham nocheimenu. That's the element of tshuva, simply to go through the effort of return. There, the Gemara says, amai tshuva asam kasha. Their onus is up to the gumring, not just simply the difficulty of being able to implement at the particular chin. Let's take a look at that piece. Very fascinating Mar Makamos. Two different types of mitzvahs in Yisrael. We also start to discuss what should be very mogeya to this issue, to get our sugya. The Gemara doesn't discuss explicitly, rules of the diuk of the Bnei Yeshua, what happens if you have an instance of onus v'ratzon ke'echa? In our sugya, the person says, imo basi heget, and also paska ma'abara, and he cannot come. That's an onus. Onus in kimatna. What happens if the person had no intention of coming? Is that considered to be a kim hatnai, or is it not? Why didn't he return? He didn't desire to return. But even if he desired to return, he would be unable to do so, because paska ma'abara. Is that called a kim hatnai, or is that not? If you look, for example, in the hafla, here in our sugi, in Ksuvus da beis and beis, the hafla is explicit. Of course that's called a kim hatnai. And the get is a get. Because the Ratzon Habal is the Garishas Ishto. The only time he can speak about Ones is when you're going in different directions. He didn't come, but his desire was to come. But if he's satisfied with not returning, and the get will be a get, of course that's a Kiyum Hatzonai. Sounds very reasonable. How can you call it an Ones if that was the Ratzon Habal? Onus usually means something which is against the person's will. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua also assumes this chiddush in our sugya. But with this in mind, raises the following kasha. In determining whether, in fact, onus is relevant to Kiyum Hatnai, Gemara quotes the following Mishnah. I say hareze giteich im lo basi mikan van shnei masar chodesh. The Mishnah says, what happens if meis besol shnei masar chodesh? The guy died. Well, if he died in the middle, so certainly eino get. The get is not a get. Why is that true? Why is that so simple? We'll have to discuss this. Right? Rashi writes something here. Why is the get no get? Rashi writes, remaskal meis. Ein ha meis si megarshim. Because a dead person cannot divorce his wife. Mustaber? No? If you look in Rashi elsewhere, Rashi writes differently. Now, if you look in Rashi and Gittin, that's some of days. In Rashi and Gittin, that you'd give him an aleph. Rashi writes another reason, also very compelling. You know why the get is not a get? Because once the guy dies, he's no longer married. How could the Rishu say? You want to be Meshachar and Eved Lachar Misa? You want to divorce your wife Lachar Misa? If you're not the Adam, he's not your Eved. If you're dead, she's not your wife. So of course, ain't get Lachar Misa. It's interesting that Rashi writes, right, different reasons. Here Rashi writes a Chiddush that ain't a Mesa Megarshim. And Rashi in Gittin writes that Pakal Rishusei. Take a look, we'll have to discuss this the next year, but take a look at the Tzos and Simin Kupeches and Sivkatan Beis. Tzos writes a pretty incredible Chiddush, the Diyukim in the Rambam, and he quotes these Rashis. But for one of two reasons, either because if you're dead you can't divorce, or because if you're dead you're no longer the husband, she's no longer your wife, well obviously, right? Meis, Besokhe, Beis Chodesh, Enogent. So our Gemara picks up. Our Gemara says the following. The Mishnah mentions such an extreme case. Mace. The mashmos is, what happens if? Chala. What happens if they're just ill? And as a result, he didn't return. So apparently, hareza get. And what do you get? Even though there was an onus, even though the person was very ill. So Rashi Narsigi writes the following. If you're going to tell me that even in a case where a person is chola, even in that case, eno get, because yesh onus begitten. So let the Mishnah say, chola hu, and vakoshke meis. After all, eno onus, kol mizeh. That's the deal, the Gemara, no? So Pnei Yeshua raised the following kasha. Could the Gemara have so simply have said such a thing? That's what the Mishnah should have said. In a case of this will be your get lachar shemesar chodeshim labasi, if meis, absolutely positively eno get. What should the Mishnah have said? If the person becomes ill, eno get? How can the Mishnah say that? A person gives his wife a get, im labas lachar shemesar chodeshim raise a get, and the Mishnah should say, Cholohu, ain't no get. Ooh, that's not necessarily true. The guy's ill. So let's say, according to the Hafla, what else now do we have to investigate? Good, the guy is ill, but now I have to investigate. And let's say the guy was healthy. Would he have come? Or would he not have come? The Mishnah couldn't say, Cholohu, ain't no get. No. The most it could possibly be, he's suffering. If the person was ill, perhaps he would have come if he was able, and therefore, ain't no get. But perhaps as well, maybe he never would have desired to come, in which case the get is a get. In other words, that this woman would have to be treated as a suffik grusha. Suffik grusha. If he'll subsequently die, you couldn't do a mitzvah of yibum. There's a mitzvah of yibum. We wouldn't assume that she's necessarily mutter the kohen, because maybe the get is a good get. So of course the Mishnah had to have a definitive case. You want to give me an instance where ain't no get? The guy's dead. It's ain't no get. The guy's ill? We don't know enough. Maybe yes, maybe no. That's the kasha, the Pnei Yeshua. What's the whole deal with the Gemara? The fact that the Mishnah didn't mention the case of Chalahu. Chalahu is absolutely not definitive at all. Even if you assume yesh onus, because who says that the Ratzon Haba was to come? That's what the Gemara means. The Mishnah should have mentioned specifically that in that case alone. So the answer is simple then. The Mishnah is giving you a universal case, not just a Hechatimtzim. Yet the Gemara does make such a deal. So if you take a look at the Berachas Shmuel, right, in Siman Dalet, the Shem Reb Chaim, yeah, the Berachas Shmuel writes the following Chiddush, right? Against this assumption of the Hafla, against the assumption of the Pnei Yeshua. If onus just simply means that there are unusual circumstances, I was compelled to do so, what I did not really reflect my true ratza. Yeah, the lechora, the hafla, Pnei Yeshua, 100% correct. So if it absolutely did reflect your ratza, you did not desire to return, regardless of whether the bridge was up or down. Then onus ratza miyachid is considered to be a kiyum atnai, the get is a get. But here the Berachas Shmuel writes, if you assume much more than that, onus means it is nasis me'elav. Since you could not have done anything else, therefore that act is not your own. So then, even in a case of onus v'ratzom ke'echad, al pidin, that's not called a kiyum hatnai. If we insist that whenever you have a get al tnai, there must be a concrete, a positive, an active kiyum hatnai, and there was no possibility of kiyum hatnai, so in such a case, it's called nasis me'elav. So That's the chiddush that the Chashma writes, Chosar Hamaisa Shal Kiyum Hatnai. Because Nenas, Lo Mikra Masi Didei, it's not called as that. It's Nasas Me'ela. That is not called the Kiyum Hatnai of the Baal. Well, Kifonas Rachman Rapatri is just simply a function in Umdana. Was this your intent? Was this your desire? Was it not? Yeah, then we understand very well the difference between the case of Onus and Rasam Ke'echad. If you assume it's a Hafka, then Reb Chaim is willing to assume the Chiddush. A Paska Ma'abara that is not called a Kiyum Hatnai, even if you would not have showed up in any case. Since your failure to arrive had nothing at all to do with your Ratzon. It was an impossibility. That's not called a Kiyum Hatnai. It's a fascinating Kiddush. Another possibility. Up until this point, we've been discussing the Gemara's case, Kiyum Hatnai Ba'omis. What happens if Nisbatel Hatnai Ba'omis? In our case, in the Gemara, the person fulfilled the Tanai. The Tanai was Im Lo Basi. And there was a Kiyum HaTanai, but necessarily it was an onus. Is that good or is that not good? What happens if Nisbatel HaTanai bonus? Let's say the case would be Harisa Gitech, Im Basi. Couple's having difficulty. Whatever. She's insisting on an absolute separation. He's chappering. No? Because look, I'll give you a get. I'm going to leave you alone. I'm not going to see you for the next month. If I show up, then this is a get. No? What would happen in the case of Nenas Loba? As a result of an onus, the guy did not show up. So what's the halacha in such a case? Vitel hatnai ba'onus. The tnai is im basi, and enachinami loba, but there was an onus that was involved. So if you take a look, the Shitu Gavetz is Narsugya. Right? In the name of the Ra'ah, and you take also look at the Chedusha HaRitva, the Ramasal Amar Rabba. There, the Shitu Kavetzes writes in the Ritva, Dabra Poshut, in such a case, Eino get. Hareze Gitech Imbasim. The person did not come. So obviously it's no get. Why? Because the bottom line is there was no Kiyum Hatnai. Our Gemara, there's a Kiyum Hatnai Ba'ones. Maybe one could argue a Kiyum Hatnai Ba'ones is not called a Kiyum Hatnai. But if it was a Bitul Hatnai Ba'ones, so what are you going to say? That's called a Kiyum Hatnai. The fact that the person desired to come, yeah, but his friend knew it wasn't his best interest. His friend is holding him back. And as a result of that Ones Gamor, he did not come. So the Gemara, what are you going to say? That's called an Ones, and therefore what? Commander Avad. It's as though the Tanai was met, and therefore the get is a get. Ridiculous, the Shitu Kavetzes writes. Now, the only Hakira could be our Gemara. Kiyum HaTanai Ba'ones. Maybe it's not called a Kiyum HaTanai. But a Bittel HaTanai Ba'ones. Right? If it was up to the guy alone, he would have ran in the next day. So what are you going to say? The fact that he would have done so means it's a Kiyum HaTanai. So the Ritva writes, Lo Niskayim HaTanai. The guy didn't show. How can you say that's a fulfillment of Im Basi? So take a look, right, for tomorrow at the Ran in Kedusha. Right, this is found in Afchot Heim Ar Aleph. In the Daf Harif. Here, the Ran quotes the name of the Yerushalmi. A pretty unbelievable case. A person is Mekadesh and Isha. That's the Yerushalmi and Gittin, Derek Zayin, Halacha Vav. But the Ran quotes the whole thing. A person is Mekadesh and Isha, just as Erisin. Al Tanai, that by this and this date, Al Dunisuin. That's similar to the case in the beginning of Amasafta, where you have someone of a lapse, Erisin Nisuin. And he says, and if not, and if I don't do Nisuin by that given date, Lo Yalech Klum. Forget it, we're not even married. The whole Kedushin is off. She's worried that he's going to drag his feet. If I don't do Nisuin by this date, the whole Kedushin is baka. We're not married. And all of a sudden, the case of the Yerushalmi, there was an Ones, and Velo Hichnis Lo Sahayom, and the Nisuin did not take place. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Eina Mekudeshes, no? Eina Mekudeshes, there was no Kiyum HaTnai. The Tanai was, if there is Nisuin, and there was no Nisuin. And Rish Lakish says, unbelievably, Unsa Keman De'ova. Unbelievable, no? The fact that there was an onus that prevented it from Nisuin, it's as though the Tanai was not breached, and therefore they're Mekudeshes. Unbelievable. Rish Lakish says, Unsus Keman De'ova. An onus occurred, and the onus did not allow for the kiyum hatnai. Not that there was a kiyum hatnai ba'onus. There was a bitul hatnai ba'onus. The guy couldn't undergo the nisuin. Rish Lakish says, don't worry. Onus is kemanda avad. Unbelievable. What is the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Rav Yochanan says that an onus is kemanda lo avad. An onus is not as though it was accomplished. We can argue you're not at fault for what you did, but certainly that new status, that chalos, did not occur. And Rish Lakish says that Oms is considered to be Kamanda Avad. So the Ran writes an unbelievable Kiddush. Take a look at that Ran in Kiddush. The Ran quotes our Gemara. How can Rabbi Yochanan say Onus is irrelevant? We know Onus is relevant. How do you know Onus is relevant? The Ran writes, after all, Kid Isa Bereish Ksuvis, Beis La Beis. Our Gemara says Yeshonis Begitin, Yeshonis Bekedushin, no? So how in the Rukh Rabbi Yochanan say that Enem Ukudeshes? Unbelievable, no? There's a world of difference between our Gemara and that case, no? Our Gemara says Kiyum Atnai Ba'ones. A Kiyum Atnai Ba'ones is not a Kiyum Atnai. But here where you fail to fulfill the Tanai Israel Devonis, you're going to argue, command Ava. The Ran writes, of course, that's what our Gemara says. That case in Yerushalmi writes is the same as Haskam Abara. So Rabbi Yochanan is very difficult. I would say Rish Lakish is very difficult, no? Rabbi Yochanan is very difficult. How in the world can Rabbi Yochanan say that an Onus is considered to be command lo Ava? So you know what the difference between our Sugi and that Sugi is? The Ran writes, there's a difference between Gittin versus Kedusha. Take a look. In a case of Gittin, where it's unilateral das, it's just das habal, so then we can say that an onus, rachmana patre, in a kimatzai onus, is not considered to be kimatzai, because that's obviously what he meant. In Kedusha, you need reciprocal das. Hacha, Yishen Miskadesh Salamidata. So it's not enough to say that, oh, he really meant A, he didn't mean under these circumstances. That's the difference between these two sugyas. Gittin versus Kedushin, Das Aisha. Apparently, you see, according to the Ran, that if Onus works in Kiyum HaTnai, the same thing is true when it comes to Bitul HaTnai. What is that based on? Can you equate Kiyum HaTnai and Bitul HaTnai? So take a look. This is the beginning pieces Rabbi Yochanan has. Right? O Salaf, O Space, O Skimel. Right? Here in the very beginning of Maseches Ksuvos. See, if you understand Onus means that there were extenuating circumstances, this is not what I had in mind. I had in mind, normal conditions. And here something highly unusual occurred. That argument can be put forth, whether you're talking about Kimatnai or Bitulatnai. When I said A, I meant under normal conditions. I didn't anticipate crazy instances of an onus. If you're going to tell me onus means hafkos hamaisa, an act which is done by onus is not called your act, obviously that only works in one direction. It doesn't work in another direction. You can say that which was done by onus is nasa smelav, it's not your doing. But can you say the opposite direction? If I fail to do something by onus, it's as though it was done? Onus is hafkos hamaisa. That which you do bonus is not yours. And that which you failed to do becomes yours. That is attributed to you. Certainly not. That's the Chiddush Rav Yochanan writes, that if you assume that onus is called the Hafgos HaMaisa, obviously it can only work in the single direction that the Gemara presents it. You did something, but the circumstance was onus. Maybe it's as though it happened by itself. You are not the doer. But there's no possibility to argue, as Rish Lakish does, onus kamanda ava. Something that I failed to do, since I can attribute it to extenuating circumstance, it's as though it was done? Obviously not. That can only be understood with a very different basis of onus. That is a hafka. But just simply, right? Umdana, das, ratzon. Is this what I meant? Is this what I anticipated? When I said A, I did not mean, right, if there will be highly unusual conditions. That can flip both ways. Take a look at the piece, right, that Rav Yochanan has. And so take a look at this. Take it one last thing as well. The Chidushi Hara'ah, which is called the Shita Chobetzes, is the Ramask of a Kosa B'Shita, where the Ra'ah introduces another variable as well. Should there be any difference whether it's something which is dependent on das atzma or is dependent on das acher? When I say harei ze gitech im lo basi, yeah, but I know it's in my power to come. And if something happens paskam avara, that sets everything off. That's highly unusual. That's onus. What happens if the tnai is something which is not under my control at all? A person makes a get dependent on das acherim. And all of a sudden there's an onus. Can I still argue onus in such an instance? Paskam avara. If it's das atzmo, you understand very well. I would have come, but I couldn't, right, because the bridge was out. So therefore, obviously, there's a collision between the onus and ratzon habaal. When something is dependent betolah b'das acherim, isn't there some recognition that may or may not occur? And therefore, how can I necessarily assume that as a result of an onus, that should not be called a kiyum hatnai? If it's tolah b'das acherim, there was no certainty at all that the tnai would be fulfilled. That also should depend on two very different ways of understanding onus. So we'll pick up right with this piece that Rabbi Chanan has, right, Nosalaf Beis Gimel. Take a look at the Ra'ah, and then right, take a look at the Ktsos and Simon Kuf Pei Ches, the Cut and Beis, right, the Diukim and Rashi. Right, why is it so simple that you can't have a get lachar misa? Is that because Pakal Rishusei? Or is that because Ena Mesim Megarshim? Is there any nafkamin at all? Right, between these two reasons. Okay, so pick up with this one.